In 1998, a Harris poll revealed that 83% of Americans believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. That Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary without a human father. In 2002, another poll showed that 27% of British clergy did not believe that Christ was born in the virgin birth. The view of one Hampshire vicar was typical. He said there was nothing special about his birth or his childhood. It was his adult life that was extraordinary. He declined to give his name, saying, "I have a very traditional bishop, and this is one of those topics I do not go public on. I need to keep the job I have got." With the majority of Americans, along with adherence to Islam, I also believe in the virgin birth of Christ. And here are some reasons why. The virgin birth was prophesied through Moses. In the promise he made to the serpent, that is Satan, all the way back in Genesis 3 and verse 15, the first messianic prophecy found in Scripture said, "He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." We note it says her seed in that promise. The reference to the seed of a woman is unique. The normal expression is seed of man, like in Romans 1 in verse 3. Now, I understand that's not overwhelming proof, but it is a subtle hint for what was to come. It's also prophesied through Isaiah. In the promise made to the house of David in Isaiah 7, beginning in verse 13, Isaiah said, "Hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men. But you will weary my God also. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Even though Ahaz rejected a sign, God chose to give one anyway to his descendants. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, concerning the Hebrew word Alma, which some contend simply means a young woman, as a matter of fact, J. Grissom Machen says, which some contend simply means a young woman, he says, as a matter of fact, there is no place among the seven occurrences of Alma in the Old Testament where the word is clearly used of a woman who is not a virgin. That's in his book, The Virgin Birth of Christ. In the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, is translated around 250 B.C., Alma in Isaiah 7 and verse 14 is translated by the Greek. The Greek word parthenos, which can only mean a virgin. Alfred Edersheim wrote a book titled The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. He says the fact that the 70 who were the most eminent Hebrew scholars in the world translated the word virgin is sufficient evidence that in this connection the word could have no other meaning. A young woman bearing a child is not a sign, but a virgin bearing a child, whose name was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now that's a sign. It was also prophesied through Jeremiah. In the promise made to Judah in chapter 31 and verse 22, he says, "How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter?" Talking about Jerusalem. "For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man." The Lord would create a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man, he said. The phrase has been variously interpreted. And even so, Albert Barnes in his commentary says, "The fathers saw in these words a prophecy of miraculous conception of our Lord by the Virgin." Any other explanation would not likely involve God creating a new thing. So this prophecy would also be a subtle reference to what was to come. especially in regards to the prophecy in Isaiah, we have a promise that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Unsurprisingly, in the Gospel of Jesus Christ, we find the virgin birth proclaimed. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, we see Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. Mary was found to be with child, conceived of by the Holy Spirit, in fulfillment of the prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. Now, concerning the Greek word parthenos, used by Matthew in his account, it is the Greek word for virgin, leaving no doubt that the prophecy in Isaiah referred to a virgin. Matthew, an early disciple and one of the 12 apostles, proclaimed that the birth of Christ was by a virgin birth. The Gospel of Luke, in his account of the birth of Jesus in chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, he also calls Mary a virgin. She was to have a child without the benefit of a man. Notice in Luke's account the words of the angel Gabriel. He says, "For with God nothing is impossible." If one believes in God, the concept of a virgin birth is not an impossibility. And think about this. Luke was a physician and a notable historian, and he proclaimed it a virgin birth. And then it was proclaimed by the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Galatian Christians in chapter 4 and verse 4, writing about the coming of the Son of God, of whom he says was born of a woman. Notice how Paul is careful in his letters, in his epistles. He proclaims Jesus to be the son of Abraham and David, and he never ascribes the sonship of Jesus to any earthly father, only to God. Yet he has no hesitation ascribing his birth to a woman. Paul, an apostle of Christ, by implication, certainly proclaimed the virgin birth. And there's a lot more in the scriptures that implies the virgin birth of Christ. There were such expressions as begotten of God that we could read in John 1 in verse 18, in verse 14 and verse 18, in John 3 in verse 16. Then there's the many expressions, the references to Jesus as being the Son of God, Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, and Matthew 16 and verse 16. But there are skeptics, and they offer alternative explanations about this conception, such things as, well, Mary had a relationship with a secret lover, and that's who was actually the father of this child. Some say that she was raped by a Roman soldier. Some say that she had a premarital relationship with her fiancé, Joseph. Jesus was conceived as a result of normal relations between Mary and Joseph after marriage, some would say. You know, each of these imply that the virgin birth stories in Matthew and Luke were nothing more than fables, invented decades after the conception of Jesus, without any grounding in fact. It is important to believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Otherwise, we claim that the New Testament narratives are false and unreliable. We are more knowledgeable today than Matthew, Luke, and Paul. The question is, who are you willing to believe? The views of skeptics and opponents who seek to undermine faith in Jesus? The opinions of theologians and professors who publish for the sake of tenure and profit? The inspired apostles and writers of the New Testament who suffered for their testimony, as well as the inspired prophets of old? I'm content. I'm satisfied to place my faith in the words of the Gospel of Christ in Matthew and Luke. And I'm satisfied, I'm content to listen to the writings and the warnings of Paul. Paul warned in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, "Guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. What we need to do is commit our trust to this wonderful truth that Jesus was indeed born of a virgin. It may be that you disagree with this lesson or you'd like to comment on this lesson further. You can look me up on Facebook. You can go to the church's website where you can listen to this lesson again or other lessons. That's church@eastside.com. Or you could email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. And in the minutes that I have left with you here, I'd like to invite you to our gospel meeting that begins this morning. We have Brother Steve Peeler who will be with us, as I said, beginning today at 9 a.m. and then another study at 10 a.m. and then evening service at 5 p.m. And then Monday through Thursday night, we will assemble at 7 p.m. each evening and hear Brother Steve Peeler speak to us again. We'd like to encourage you to come, bring people with you. You'll hear good lessons from the Word of God. And if you'd like to discuss what he speaks about, we would be glad to sit down and discuss with you anything that you might care to talk about. If you'd like to find out what the Church of Christ is all about, certainly you can go to our website and see what we're about, but you can come and visit with us and get firsthand knowledge. We have nothing to hide. We would be glad to sit down and discuss the Word of God with anyone. Like I said, if you would like to discuss with me personally about this lesson or any other lesson that we've had in the past, you can go to my email, djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, and we can begin a conversation about our differences. But as I've said in the past, if you disagree with me, be sure to bring your Bible and give me book, chapter, and verse for why you are right and I am wrong. And we'll try to have a civil discussion about the Word of God. I want to thank you for being with me today, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning. Thank you.